given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. All right, the Lord is good. Now I want us to open our Bibles quickly to the book of Genesis. I want to start something there, still looking at what we've been looking at for the last few weeks, concerning how to overcome the hindrances to obeying the will of God in our lives. Quickly, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. It says from verse 1, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac." Now notice the emphasis. Your son, your only son, Ishmael was gone. The one that you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay there here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he answered, he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." Now the angel went on to say, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son." Now please listen to this carefully. He said, "Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. The Lord, that place, "The Lord will provide," is what we call Jehovah Jireh, you know, when we sing our songs and, you know, use some Hebrew words. Now, verse 15, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son.'" This is what the Lord is saying. "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. He said in verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. I'm going to stop reading in that verse 19. We read 19 verses, 1 to 19 of the book of Genesis chapter 22. Now, I want to preach something which I've preached quite, of course, there's nothing new, all right? I preached this particular one a number of times. But that's what's been on my heart today to say to us in line of what we have been talking about in the last two or three meetings. And that's concerning the word hope. Hope, H-O-P-E. Please let me do a small reminder of things, of something many of us here may already know, especially if you have heard me teach for some time. When the Bible uses the word hope, it is not the same way the Englishman uses it. And that has caused a lot of confusion. Many books we read those days, they emphasized that hope is not good. In fact, I remember a particular book. I have this a subsection inside the book. It's titled The Failure of the Hoper. Now, please get me. These are written by good people. They say if you hope, you will not get what you're asking for. It's only if you believe. That faith is superior to hope. Now, please let me just clarify it. I need to do that because God has given us the opportunity to go through that phase of believing that and seeing the error, the mistake, because let me not use the word error, lest you think I'm saying some people are deliberately corrupting the word of God. They're not. The confusion is because of the word hope. They interpreted it in English rather than in the Bible languages like Hebrew or Greek. That's why, again, let me just drop something for preachers. If you ever heard anybody say that what you just need, I've heard somebody say it's King James Bible. The person is not a Bible scholar. The person doesn't study. You need more than one version of the Bible if you're a Bible student, especially when you're a teacher of the word. In fact, I think you need, these days, just get a smartphone. Gone are the days when we had to buy all the versions. When one of the best presents we could give a preacher was that 4-in-1 Bible, which required two brethren to carry for him when he's going for service. You get what I'm saying? It's quite heavy. I still got a Bible gift yesterday. It's a small aside. All right? I'll get it. There's a reason why I mentioned that Bible gift. So then that's what you give ministers. This was given to me again because I'm a preacher. You need to study scriptures with references, with commentaries, with insight. Because sometimes, if you're not careful, you get swept away. You just get into the confusion. A man wrote a book, a whole book. I read it many years ago. I mean, I was still a student, and to tell you how long ago that was, I specifically read that book. I remember specifically that was in 1989. Which year are we now? 2025. That was 36 years ago, right? Yeah. I read the book. The title of the book is interesting. I'm not like to find the book like I can give the title. Okay, let me just give you a portion of it. He said, what events that will soon happen? Now, I've twisted the title a bit so that you won't go and look for the book. It's not a bad book, but there's something. The book was written on world events that are about to take place as revealed in the scriptures. That's the title. I turned the words a bit. I know the painful part. It was the whole book. The substance of the book was built on a wrongly read verse of the scriptures. Did you hear what I said? Somebody read a portion of the Bible wrongly, and he wrote a whole book. The central pillar of the building of his doctrine was wrong. Like you build a building like the one we are in, and all your pillars are made of chalk, not cement. And your reinforcement, your steel rods, they are straw. You know, the building will collapse before you finish anything. Can't be any weight. That also happened with the book. The man read a scripture in King James and was not diligent enough to at least read Revised Standard Version. This was long ago. Some of these translations we use now may not be, have been there then. I don't know whether New Living Translation had been written. But at least New American Standard was already there, the 77 edition. The next one, yes, the one after that, I think, was 95. Yeah. 77 edition was there. Revised Standard was already there. There were so many versions. Just read another one. He did not. I'm not talking about even delving into the Greek to see what the Greek scholars said. And what was the reason? What was the mistake? Let's just read that. That's just a small, you know, a small aside just to help Bible teachers. Let me just get the reference out. Please, to search it out, I quickly have to switch to King James because that will help me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So that's chapter 2, verse 7, sorry. Chapter 2, verse 7. He said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That's verse 7. Did you see that? He said what? "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Just before we read another translation, I already have New Living Translation open here, so I'll just read it, okay? You know the mistake he made? That word let. Let me pass. What does that mean? Take your feet. Thank you. Allow me. Take your feet out of the way. I want to pass. Open the door for me and let me pass through. So let means what? Allow. And that was the mistake he made. This is old English. Let did not mean allow. It meant hinder. Diametric opposite. Exact opposite. He read an old English word in a modern English mind and got a diametrically opposite meaning to what was intended. Even if you got the English right, that was not what was intended. If you ever play table tennis, if you serve and you hit the net, you remember what do you hear? Let. Now, some people say net. The word is not net. The word is let. It's old English for your service had a hindrance. Take it again. It's like saying obstruction. But if you don't know, you don't. When you hit, when we're young, that's a. Someone say let. Say, no, it's not let. It's, hey, this Yoruba boy, how you could call this thing let? It is net. We abuse each other. Until we got the book. And the book made it clear to us, it is let. So when you serve and hit the net before dropping on the other side, it is what? Let. Which means your service was hindered. Take it again. Now that's what this man, that's what the Bible says here. But the man wrote a whole book. Because he wouldn't just bother to read another translation. I'll give you an example. We now have New Living Translation. It says, "For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way." Can you see that? The man wrote a whole book thinking this meant to allow. Meanwhile, it means to hinder. So if you're a Bible student, please, study well. Before you jump out with a doctrine, before you start telling us, when Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," he said, God said no. God never said no. God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard." There are Bibles that put no there. Just a little bit of studying around, you see, no. God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard." Just do a bit of study. Anybody can fall for it. All right, so I'm not insulting anybody or criticizing anybody. I'm sure I've done that a number of times. I'll reread my Bible. Do you follow what I'm saying? So back to the issue of hope. Please, I need to keep correcting this because people are still making that mistake. I still hear preachers say it. If you're walking in hope, you're not ready yet. You need to move from hope to faith. No, people of God, faith is before hope. You move into faith, it produces what? Hope. The Englishman, hope means a desire. That's what it means. It's a desire. You're about to leave your house this afternoon to come for Bible study, and you see the clouds, and you hope it wouldn't rain. You understand? Why? maybe you don't have a car, or your car's AC is not working. You don't want to drive in the heavy rain, or you don't want to have to exchange buses in the heavy rain. So what do? You hope it doesn't rain. But deep inside your heart, you hope it will rain. What do I mean? The real thing is that you expect it to rain. Not your desire, but your observation brought forth a conclusion that it shall rain. And listen to me. Don't ever say, it will not rain in Jesus' name. Don't. What I'm trying to say is that, no, let me withdraw that. You don't misunderstand me. Don't just use your boju to say it will not rain. The only time you can say it will not rain is if you turn to the Lord. Are you getting my point? And you say, Lord, I need to go. Let it not rain so that I can get to where I'm going without being obstructed, without being wet. Because you made a request to God, He has the power to sweep away the rain. You cannot say, let's go, it will not rain. Then I will say, why do you say so? You can see the cloud. Say, no, I prayed and have the confidence or the spirit witness and assurance in my heart that God heard and it didn't rain, and it will not rain. Hope must always have evidence. Don't forget it. It must always have. Not as much. It always has. I'm talking about real hope. Real hope is something that you expect, not something you wish for. What I'm explaining again to us is that hope is not the same thing as wish. The common interpretation is for us to think it is same thing as wish, but it is not. It's why people said, Bible teachers said, you have to move from hope to faith because they thought it was desire. The Greek word for hope in the Bible, the best English translation is firm expectation. So you hear things like, in him the Gentiles will hope. You hear things like, Abraham hoped against hope. Why? The information he had concerning his life brought forth an expectation. I will go childless. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, your wife will bear you a child. And Abraham believed God. And that birthed a new hope, which overcame the other hope. Do you follow my point? The information he had first gave him one expectation. Then when God spoke, it gave him another expectation. That's the meaning of in hope. Against hope, Abraham believed. Is that making sense now? We need to keep saying this. And I've said this at least 20 times, I'm sure. But we need to keep saying it so that people will understand. Now, what's my message for today? Which is in line with what I've been talking about. Life is not possible without hope. Hope is what keeps you going. That's it. Hope is what keeps you going. You expect something to be better in your life tomorrow than today. Do you follow my point? I don't know how many people have ever fallen sick. I have. Over the many years I have lived, I have fallen sick quite a number of times. But as an older person, as an adult, one of the things I remember very well in all of them is that I always expect to get well. Do you follow my point? I can't remember thinking I would die, really. There are times I've had, stomach, intestinal distress, now bloated abdomen and all of that. That's so distressing. If I remember one particular one, my wife was feeling, I didn't tell my wife anything because I know the kind of person she is. So I woke up alone at night. I was suffering. I was just suffering. Oh, I was suffering. Oh, I was just suffering by myself. After a while, I couldn't suffer alone again. So I told my wife, please, the kind of thing is, I said, sweetheart, I'm not feeling well. You should just get. Initially, what I hear, I'm not feeling well. She was fully alert in the next, 2 seconds? Half a second. What's the problem? Says my stomach. We start checking, what did you eat? What do you not eat? Have you prayed about it? Okay, let us pray. Let us pray. Okay, do you want to drink this? I said, I don't want to drink anything. The place is too tense. Where I'm going with the whole thing there is that I didn't expect not to get well. It's how long it will take before I recover. Well, I said, Lie down. I said, I can't lie down. Sit down. I can't sit down. Stand up. I'm tired of standing. Oh, is this how I should stand? But the first two, she said, finally, I went and knelt in a position. If you came into the room, you think I'm praying. I wasn't praying. That was the only comfortable position I had. But as I usually do, I stopped focusing on my pains. I said to the Lord, it will go. I had prayed about it anyway. I said, it will go. You know, I just felt it was something I ate that didn't seem to agree with my system. So what did I do? I stopped praying for myself. I began to pray for those that have cancer in the intestine, in which they have no hope of anything going away tomorrow. As I pray for all, you know, I know this, I see these things regularly. As I pray for people that have pain in the stomach, that even the doctor does not have hope it will go away. Because I just felt that, Vaki, you will be fine. I mean, let's drag the, okay, suffer the whole night. By morning, you'll be okay. I persuaded my wife to go and sleep. She was really tired. After some time, she managed to fall back asleep. And later on, she woke up and I was asleep. I was right beside her. I was sleeping. The pain had gone down a bit. Do you follow what I'm saying? I had the expectation that I would get well. It didn't cross my mind that this stomach will now bust open. Do not rush me to hospital and be stitching it back. No, I just felt it will go away. Is the reason I do that? If I ever enter that kind of situation, after thinking of myself for like 15 to 20 minutes, I stop. Because I always feel that, Banky, this will be fine. You know. But you also know people for which it will not be fine. Some people which the doctor has to give a drug that knocks him half conscious. Why? The pain is too much. The only way is to keep giving this painkiller, which is very addictive. The doctors know. But don't worry, you just be addicted till you die. Yeah, that's the point. That's the plan. That's the plan. The plan is that suffer your addiction, but you'll be at peace every day of your remaining life. So I remember such things at such times, and I start praying. I start praying, say, God, have mercy on them. Seriously, I say, Lord, bring such presence into our space so we can pray for. No, I keep on praying. And Lord, when we pray, lifting up the name of Jesus, do wonders. By the time I finish praying, like I pray like that, often that I fall asleep. And I wake up. Just like, that's what I'm talking about. Just like I expected. I'm fine. What is hope? Is that expectation. Why do I have the expectation usually when such a thing happens? I've prayed. I just, you know. Let me confess. Shall I confess? I feel like I'm very special to God. Now, I don't mean that's a preacher. I mean, I'm a child of God now. He loves me now. What is it? If I cry too much, you pain him too. If the pain is too much, I will shout just so that he can pain him also. Do you follow my point? Yes. The more pain I feel, the more he feels. So if I'm in pain, I say, Jesus, it's not paining you. Jesus said, man, it's paining me. I say, you, good. So intensify the intercession. The only time, you know, like, he will see increase the pain is if I'm too deaf, I'm not here. Because your parents, think about as a parent. If your child says his leg is paining him and he can't sleep, neither father nor mother will sleep. But if the boy went and stole his friend's lunch money in school and they told you, and you inflicted the pain by yourself. The more he cries, the more you inflict. Why? He has to stop stealing. What did you do? How much was the money? That was only 29. He's a lie. Hey, you add more to the bonbon. Father, confess. Okay, it was 200 naira. Good. Stage one. Why did you take it? I was hungry. You give him more pain on his butt than hunger gives on his stomach. So that tomorrow he feels hungry. What does he remember? The butt pain. That's how to train children. Don't mind these modern day people that tell you that, you know, the rod means a word. The rod doesn't mean a word. The rod means pancreas. You know what they call pancreas? That's what it means. See, that is when the child's pain doesn't pain you. Even then, it's paining the mother. If you're the father applying that one, you see the mother doing like this. It's paining her too. But we shall apply it. Because it has to be a man of God. It has to grow up in righteousness and justice. So what I'm trying to say, I know that my pain, my infirmity, touches the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of my confidence. Papa, I don't know about you, I actually feel special. There are times I have to be conscious not to feel over special. You get my point? Because sometimes the suffering is stubbornness. But be honest with you, I feel like God, Alpha, you have healing. I have pain. Let's exchange. Even if you don't want to fully exchange, let's balance it. By the time you're healing that's so plenty, one will mix it with my pain that's so small. I mean, everything will just balance out and I'll be fine. And then when I'm fine, I'll go and do your work. I mean, I'll go and love your children. I'll go and teach your word, you know. I'll go and declare your praise. Be honest with you, I feel like that all the time. That is why I have hope. People have said things before that are supposed to scare people. I'll go and pray. Yeah, I'll go and pray. The time a few years ago when I was ill for about a month, almost. Really? I told my wife, see. I said, see, I'm not going to hospital. Just leave me here. I told her one big bed sheet we had. Very big. It's not a bed sheet. It's a towel. But this kind of towel is large. I can cover a small bed. And it's new, white. I said, if I become unconscious, bring out the towel. Put it there. Let me lie on it. I said, that towel will signify the bosom of the Lord. I said to her, I'll either wake up back to you on this earth, or I'll wake up in the literal bosom of the Lord, but don't take me away from here. I wasn't being, how do I say it? Part of it was I lost faith. Because I felt sick on Sunday, my friend died the Saturday before that, in the best intensive care units around. So I didn't feel like I had hope. If God wouldn't take care of me, it's okay. I don't know whether I get my point. We'll discuss it. About God. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. I said, now talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, you are feeling this pain. Say, I'm feeling it. It's paining you as well as it's paining me. Say, even more, sir. So what's your plan? Said, now you will sleep. I said, okay. No problem. I said, can I have like 20 more years to fix some things? If he says no, I'll just tell him, take care of this, take care of that, take care of this. Please, I will start praying for people that I was supposed to take care of one by one when I'm done. I said, let's go. You go in front. Seriously, that's how I felt then. As I told my wife, I said, please, please, please. If you come one day, you tap me and I refuse to wake up and I'm still breathing, get the towel out. And tell everybody, that's what he said. But should I tell you the truth? I fully expected to recover. I did. You know what happened? I recovered. I only lost 8 kilograms. What is 8 kg amongst friends? When your wife feeds you for 1 month, you will gain 16. I mean, it's called the Job recovery. When you lose 8 kilograms, God will give you double what you gain back. You have to tell the Lord, it's okay. Once I get the 8 back, it's all right. I'm talking about hope. Hope is that which you expect. And there's always a reason for expectation. All right? Now, that's my second point. The reason for your expectation. The reason. You know, one of the greatest blessings God has given me in recent times is to frustrate the reasons I have for any good thing that's not built on what he said or who he is or our relationship. Do you follow my point? Let's assume that you want to go look for a house. Either you want to rent or you want to buy. And you have money. And you know, money has a way of speaking to people. Money gives you the confidence that God has been struggling to give you with his word for a long, for a long time. He has been telling you, believe, believe. You can't believe. When you see money, you suddenly enter the market. Colossal. Which kind of house is that? I don't like this one. You start looking up and down, talking. You're feeling happy. Said, is this one for rent or for sale? I like it. I don't want to rent it. Let me buy it. It's money that's talking to you. Money starts explaining itself to you. You know, if you rent it now, but if you just buy it, money has a way of giving you the confidence God didn't give. Which he was trying to give, though, another way, but he hasn't succeeded. Let me pray for you again. May God remove all the confidence you have. Let me put it this way. May God teach you the failure, the weakness of every other thing a man, a woman might have confidence in apart from him, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's very important. In recent times, I've had experiences which God made it clear to me. You see, this thing doesn't help people. You can't rely on it. You can't rely on it. And it fails. It fails. And for me, these days I've learned, of course, not in these days. God just keeps reminding us. When such things happen, what do you do? Don't be angry. Just remember that it's God trying to help you to remember to what? Pray. Money is a tool of God. It's not a sign. It's not a foundation for confidence. The man that doesn't have money should pray. The one that has should pray. I need to say that again. If you have the natural resources to meet a need, pray. If you don't have, pray. You know, one of the desires you should have as a person is to get to the point where Paul was in that Philippians chapter 4, where he said, whether you sent me, the Philippians sent him money, and he was happy, but he said something. I'm not excited about me. I'm excited about you. I'm excited because I can see the way you're behaving, that much credit will go to your account in heaven. He says, for me that you send the money to, let me be honest, I was exactly the same the day before the money came and the day after it came. He said, I'm the same in the midst of all the circumstances of life. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me be honest with you. That's one desire I have. To get to the point where you check your bank balance and everything is 200 naira. Then suddenly you get an alert. The alert that knocks the phone out of your hand. The alert enters, the phone hits the ground. You pick up the phone, it's no longer working. That's how heavy the alert is. You have to use your ATM machine or go online to log in. And you see it, 200 million. The other one was what? 200 naira. This time is what? 200 million. Just say, sweetheart, see you. And she, well, I say, what is that? 200 million. So, okay, is it? Okay, yes, that money. Oh, praise God. Amen. And continue like nothing happened. I say, what are we eating? We're eating noodles. Let me have it. If you're still breaking into dance, and there's no like there's an emergency need, nothing. You say, dance. Your face still needs to go up to small, in a notch higher. You now come to church. Praise God. I have a testimony. Because there's no death. Sit down. Just pray for the people that God used to send the money. As for you, your life hasn't changed. You know what God is saying? What you could achieve yesterday is all you still achieve today. What you couldn't do yesterday, you still can't do it today. So relax. I can collect that whole money from you now. I won't even use trouble to collect it too. I'll just wake you up during the night. They're okay. Wake up. Say, speak, thy servant listeneth. Say, good. Bring out your phone. Or bring out, log in online. Transfer the whole 200 million like this. 40 to this, 60 to this, 50 to this, 50 to this. By the time your wife wakes up, let her wonder what happened to you. And you finish. And you now fall asleep. God will not show your wife the phone, the alert on your phone. Debit. My husband, wake up! He said, what is it? You transferred all the money. He said, the Lord said so. And she says, okay. And she too, she falls back asleep. Then you know you have made it. Did you get my point? Because I can collect this. If I see too much rejoicing, I heard the story of one guy who went to the embassy, American embassy. He don't plot, do everything. So they interviewed him, had all the right answers. The documents were all correct. So finally, they granted him the visa. And he jumped into the air and they canceled the visa. Yeah. The interviewing officer said, no. There is nothing that happened that demanded this kind of rejoicing. You are not planning to come back to your father's house. they told him, see, they canceled the visa on the spot. That what caused this rejoicing? They granted you visa,
you jumped into the air. You said it's a visiting visa. Ah, the woman's not like, you know, they do it. Okay, I know they give it again. It's my visa, B. You guys, I know, don't beg me. Yeah, I heard it really happened. Compared to my own first experience I told you about. The woman said, where's your money? I said, there's no money there. I've spent it. She said, what? I said, look, I just printed the thing to let you know that I work somewhere. If you want to be the account to impress you, I can do that. But what would be the point? The woman gave me the visa. Carry, go. She said, come back on Tuesday. I said, I came from Enugu. I can't come back on Tuesday. Can somebody collect it for me? The lady looked at this one. He's not planning to stay in our country. He's willing to delegate somebody. Because I explained to her, look, I came from Enugu. Yeah, I come back on Tuesday like that, recklessly. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Let's talk about hope again. Hope always has a reason. See, I've done a number of things. Number one, I've told us what hope is again. It's nothing new, just a reminder. Number two, we need to be reminded that hope was what? Has a reason. It's not a wish. Hope does not always align with your desire. It aligns with the information available. That's why I gave the example earlier. You want to come out, you see the breeze blowing, the clouds heavy, black. You can see the clouds since they are falling down on you. You know that's rain. But what you desire is clear weather, so you can go where you're going. But you tell your wife, you tell your husband, please let's wait for a few minutes. It looks like it's going to rain. Even though you don't desire the rain. Why do you say it's going to rain? The evidence says so. The evidence says so. So you calm down. Hope does not always align with your desire. Is that okay? Hope always has a reason. Always. Okay? Now, there are two sources from scriptural perspective now. There are two kinds of evidence. One, the common one, is this environment you live in. The Bible calls it Abraham contemplating his own body. If you read Old King James, it will tell you did not contemplate. No. All modern translations explain that he contemplated his body even though as good as dead. But with regard to the promise of God, that's the second, the promise of God. One form of evidence, physical environment. The second form of evidence, the promise of God, the word of God. What God said, what you discovered in the scriptures, what God promised. That's the second kind of evidence. What is faith? It is when the word of God is your primary evidence. Every other thing lines up behind that. One day I told my wife something we're gisting. I said, think about 20 years down the line. Let's think of two persons. I said, one, me, your husband. And this family we're in now, just imagine it. Then think about a man that has 10 houses in Enugu, five in Abuja, two in his village. And he has, at that time I said, about ₦1 billion in cash in his bank account. Now think about 20 years time down the line. Who do you think? Who are you surer we have a place to stay? That was the question I asked her. Honestly, it shook her reasoning. I told her, I said, flat, let me tell you, I'm surer than he. Not because of what I have, it's because of who I have. If that person doesn't have God the way I have him, he'll be stranded. In 20 years' time, he'll become a story to tell. That this man used to be so rich. There's a particular man once in this city, I heard a story. You know, when a man will put ₦2 billion in cash in a tank, before he died, he was begging for money. I know one of the men he used to beg. Send the man a text message. Anything for your guy. That one, wire him ₦10,000. It was not even 20 years. But just like 10 years down the line. Then he fell sick. I guess he didn't have money for proper treatment and he died. I told my wife that day. I said, see, let me tell you. It is a person that believes in God. I said, I believe in God. So it's safer to follow me. If accommodation in 20 years is what you're looking for, follow this man. Because there's a scripture I will just give you. It's Psalm 121. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. That's God's assurance concerning shelter. I told a story here many times, all right? But I read in a tract. It really happened. It wasn't conjecture or somebody conjuring up a story. A couple, old people, they were about to be ejected from their own home. Why? Their pensions couldn't carry the rent anymore because the owner of the house, who was a nice landlord to them, died. And his son inherited the property. And his son decided that, look, we have to price this rent appropriately. The appropriate pricing of rent. That's what the son decided he wanted to do. So what happened? They served them quit notice. And they knelt down at home to pray one evening. And the agent managing the house came there. The manager, he came there. He was about to knock on the door to see whether they are parking. Then something restrained him. He didn't knock. So he had to walk around the house. An angel, I believe, led him to an open window. And he stayed there. And he froze him there. Listen. And he heard those two people talking. Come, look. We said we'll pray by 5. It's already 5 o'clock. And the husband told the wife, I'm coming. Let me just finish something. And then he came and they started talking. And the woman led the prayer. And I said to the Lord, we've been told to park out of this house. Just let us tell you about it. Seriously. He said, it's not as if we mind living on the street. After all, we are your children. Wherever you live, we live. You'll be there too. They told the Lord that. They said, but now mention the husband's back. That, you know, you mentioned the man's name. Let's just say Peter. But you know, Peter's having a back problem. So it needs a comfortable place to be able to rest easy. Living on the street will be difficult for him. So Lord, please help us in this time of distress. That agent gently tiptoed, lest anybody knew he heard the prayer. He ran away. I went and told the young landlord. As for those couple, or that couple, you say I should eject. I'm sorry, I can't do it anymore. You have to manage your property by yourself. He said, why? And he told the story. The little boy looked. What? With tears in his eyes. That guy said, I'm going to visit them tomorrow. I want to take some groceries, what they call groceries. Some foodstuff and all of that for them. The guy dipped it in his pocket. He gave the guy $100. Say, add it to it. And when you get there, tell them somebody has paid their rent for the rest of their lives. He said to the guy, and next time, stop listening to people's prayer. He told the guy, please, this listening in on people's prayer is not helping my business. That's it. That's how God solved the problem for that. It really happened. They don't know what happened. I mean, the couple. That guy just came, gave them what he wanted to give them. He said, somebody has paid your rent too. They said you can live here. Even the one you were praying before has now been canceled. It was the increase they couldn't pay. But even the old one, don't bother about it. The rest of your life, you live here in peace. So when I told my wife that, look, see, let me tell you, when the Bible says the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night, that is the scripture for shelter. That's the scripture. Because it's the person who's outside that the sun smites by day. Who's still outside that the moon will smite by night. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is hope. That's what I was telling my wife that day. You build the expectation not on what you have, but what God will do for you. You know, we've told this story here before. If God wants to collect, there are Nigerians I hear of these days, I feel sorry for them. Israel. Small Israel. You know, we're talking the other day. Remember the person I said, I just left this one, you know, what we're talking about. Yeah. And I see the way, we talked about one, because we are streaming, let me mention it. A prominent Nigerian who, when I was earning 6,000 naira a month for working hard for federal government of Nigeria, the Ministry of Health, at the end of the month, they gave me 6,000 naira. The guy was playing in private birthdays for 200,000 a night. At least half of that money will go into his pocket before the promoters, producers, everything collects. Let's even give them the balance half. So what in a month, in a year, a man on 6K a month, what does he earn? 72,000 a year. In a whole year. So in a year and a half, what I will earn, actually 2 years, but let's just assume a year and a half. He earned it in one night. Yet before he died, he was begging on the streets of Lagos. Yeah, he was begging. It was an embarrassment. He would come onto the traffic on Lagos Island. On the road to Lekki, guys,
Hey, you remember me now? Let me be that guy. Maybe I'll find me something. It was an embarrassment. Those who know the story, they know the story. They may not have known the first part, I tell, but the second part, they knew. You know the way Wizkid and Burna Boy and Co, they shake Nigeria with their music. That's what he was doing in his days. They play his music all over the world. Shortly before he died, he was begging on the streets of Lagos. People were embarrassed. They quickly ran around, get this man off the streets. But he was there. People are taking pictures of his teeth had fallen out. A man that was earning 200,000 naira in a night, when I was earning 6,000 naira in a month for being a post-NYC medical doctor, resident doctor in Lagos. I know because my brother was working, one of our brethren, was working for the company that managed him. He said, look, let me tell you, Banky, we paid this guy 200K a night. When we get private gigs in homes, go to Ikoyi to go and do a private gig in the house. 200,000. So we charge them. All flesh is what? There is nothing. See, some people ran to America. Hey, America is where Donald Trump deported, didn't even deport them straight. He sent them to, what's the name of that country? Whether Bukele man is the president. What's the name of that country? What's the El Salvador. Carry them to El Salvador and lock them up. Some of them say, I've not been criminal. I said, well, you're in America illegally. You saw what Donald Trump did? People will go to class. You come for lecture. They harvest you on the road. Put you in a detention center. From there, you're going home. What did you do? You're a PhD student. You're a master's student. You pay school fees. You're not owing money. Your visa is legal. But what did they say you do? You did. You were outside during the protest. Some people were protesting against the war in Gaza, and you came there. That's all you did. Donald Trump canceled your visa and deported you. When I was young, I used to think America was a home of justice. God said, you're drunk. But no, you're not drunk. You're not drunk anything yet. You're hungry. I grew up and realized that no, it's not like that. There's a song I want us to sing. I plan to sing it at the beginning, but I remember now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I remember the song. When I was coming, I just said, wow, this is a song every Christian should sing. I dare not trust the frame, right? Yes. Can't trust any other thing. But only lean on Jesus' name. He said, on Christ the solid rock. Christ is this word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, that's the next thing I want to bring up. Abraham, what happened? The angel of the Lord said to him, thus says the Lord, now I know that indeed you fear God. Because of this thing that you have done, what is the thing that he did? Now, that's the message. Now, all of this one we have been doing is preamble to the message. Now, we have hit the message. God has emotions. Let's start with that. He can be happy. He can be sad. You can see God, so to speak, walking down the street, whistling, looking happy. And he's... You see what's happening? And he's very happy. I'll tell you what's happening in a moment, all right? But he's very, very happy. You can see him walking down and he's sad. Now, wow. Lord, what happened? I will also tell you. God can be... Now, get it clear. He has emotions. He can be happy. And he can be sad. Next point. We can make him happy. And we can make him sad. Indeed, the only thing that can make him happy and sad is our behavior. If the sun jams the moon and the two of them collide and disintegrate, he will blink and make another set. That, what I've said, can never happen because he has set it apart. They can't go out of it.
But even if it were to happen, do like this. And all he did was this. And Moses said, Moses will write, and God said, let there be a new sun and a new moon. And all God did was what? Pop his finger. And Moses will hear. And the Lord said he will write to you, let there be a new sun and a new moon. It kind of doesn't make him sad. The way the world shouts about, what they call, global warming. God also laughs. God is happy. God can be happy. God can be sad. But God also laughs. His laughter is basically caused by one thing. The foolishness of man. He that sits in the heavens shall do what?
Laugh.
He shall laugh. When they say, let us oppose the plan of God. The Lord starts laughing. So if you see the Lord on the road and he's laughing, and hysterical with laughter, just know somebody has uttered foolishness against the Lord. Somebody has challenged the Lord. Just know. Somebody decided to challenge God. That is when he starts laughing. Sometimes we laugh because we see the wonder of his works. So we name our son Isaac. Do you get what I'm saying here? So we know God can be happy. God can be sad. When he loses money, it doesn't make him sad. It doesn't exist. Doesn't spend money. Are you getting my point? If you give him an offering of $10 trillion, doesn't make him happy. Because he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, the gold I have, all the money we have given me, is not even up to 0.001% of the store of my gold on this earth. So relax. The only thing that makes him happy and makes him sad is the way we behave towards him and towards one another. Now, let me now get to the high point of the message, which we read just now. The thing that makes him happiest the most, the things that makes him happiest, let me correct my English, but let's put it like that, double emphasis. The thing that makes him extremely happy and most happy and happiest, most excited, is when he says something and one of his children accepts what he says and builds his or her life on it. That's the day you see a happy God. You want to see a happy God? That's the day you see him. He utters something. Let me give an example. We're talking about rain, right? It's raining, it's threatening to rain heavily. And the rain even has started falling. And you said, I would like to go out and I'll go to church, but I don't want to get wet. But I have to go anyway. Lord, please, I don't want to get wet. I'm the one preaching. It won't be nice if I get there and I'm wet. Let's forget church. People think God is only concerned about church. I'm going to for my friend's wedding. I'm going to be the best man. As it is, if I don't get, and God now says to you, don't, now, assume he appears. The angel of the Lord comes to you and says, go, you will not get wet. And you tell your friends, I have gone. I don't know where I get my point. Somebody said they can't. No. How are you planning to get there? I'll walk. It's not too far. The rain is heavy. It doesn't matter. I will not be wet. And you enter into the rain. Be trusting you will not be wet. Why? Because the angel of the Lord just stood by you and said, none of these men with you will die today. And Paul said, therefore, I believe God. That statement, that day, God drank champagne. If you get what I mean by that. Don't go and buy champagne. I'm just trying to make a statement. Okay, let's say palm wine. That day, God was excited. It may not be recorded for you, but I know the way it is. When Paul uttered that statement and said, none of you will die. So it's, you are going to suffer the loss of the ship. He said, how do you know? He said, because the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, stood before me this night. And he said that none of these men will die. I've granted you the lives. Why did God grant to him? Who wants to answer me? It's a simple reason. Because he asked. He prayed for the people inside the vehicle. That ship. He prayed for it. Prayed for them. Prayed for all of them. And God said, don't worry. They will all be fine. Let's go back to Abraham. Look at what God said. Let's just read how the Lord answered Abraham. Open your Bible back there. Which verse is that? Verse 16. Start from 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said,
By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. I will... Now, sorry, I need to back up. What's the first thing he said? By myself I have sworn. Let me tell you what that is, in case you don't know. He took an oath. So what he intended to say is this. I swear by Almighty God. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, that's what people do. At such times they say, I swear by Almighty God. So God began to say it. I swear by... Oh, sorry. By myself. Do you get what I'm saying? He was swearing by Almighty God. He only said by myself because he's the Almighty God. What am I trying to say? He took an oath. He took an oath. Why did he take the oath? You've seen the oath he took. He said, I will bless you. I will greatly multiply you. Multiply your seed. I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and the stars which are on the seashore. Your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. Let me tell you, don't be afraid of anybody. God has already sworn concerning your matter. Your enemies, you will. Are you the seed of Abraham? Possess their gates. Leave that. But why did God swear? That's what I'm talking about. Let's get it clear again. You know what happened? God said to Abraham, remember I said, if the angel of the Lord comes and says, enter the rain, you will not be wet. And you entered. God's excited. I'm telling you, God is excited in heaven. Please, in case you did not know it now. Anytime you take God at his word, he's excited. You know what makes him sad the most? Let's get it clear. He says something. And you said to yourself, say to your friend, you go and tell your wife, honey, let's be practical. God will place a curse upon that home. There were these people that said that to him. They are called the Israelites. He said, you can enter the promised land and you take it from the people who are there. They entered as spies, came back and said, we cannot enter. God said, I said you can enter. They said, we saw the giants. We think you didn't see them. If you had seen them, you wouldn't be hearing this kind of thing you are hearing here. They rouse this kind of thing, just open mouth, they talk. Come down to earth, be practical. When you are in heaven, you don't know the challenges of Nigeria. EDC, they heaven. Is Tinubu your president in heaven? They are telling him not to worry. Is Akpabio your Senate president in heaven? Angel, God won't answer me, you answer me. Angel Michael. Does Akpabio make laws for you people? You people, two of you will just come here and be telling somebody not to worry. Do you know when I first started to buy a car? Market, maybe you tell God, he's not listening to me. You see, the dollar was 400 naira. I started gathering money. Right now it's 1,006. I need to gather four times what I was supposed to gather. You say I shouldn't worry. See, that's the problem of those who live in heaven and they can't face the realities of the earth. I'm telling you not to worry. Honey, Abel, let's go and worry. This prayer, I'm not praying again. We came to pray. 30 days fasting and praying. The only thing God said at the end was that we should not worry. In Nigeria. Has anybody ever said that kind of thing before? You come to Nigeria. But Paul said that because Paul never lived in Nigeria. That's why he can say, be careful for nothing. May Nigeria not happen to Paul. Yes, now. That's why I can be talking that nonsense now. He wrote it for us and died. Then we should read it and leave. If not so, they walk. You write it and stay here. I've said all of these things. Sounds like a joke. But you know brethren say it every day. When you give them scripture, they say, let's get practical. You know what that means? Heaven does not know what's going on the earth. You give them scripture, they say, let's get practical. Say, we are not talking Bible here. We are talking practical. What does that mean? God doesn't know what's happening on the earth. When Paul said, be careful for nothing, his problem was that the Romans were kind. They were not imprisoning. They were not lashing him on the back. When he wants to preach the gospel, the government will build him a pedestal and give him a megaphone. And they will say to the soldiers, protect him from harm. And he will stand and say, Jesus is Lord. That's why he said we shouldn't care. We shouldn't be careful for anything. He never had a shipwreck. He always used to travel in luxury yachts. They never chained him, never arrested him. So when Paul said we should be subject to government,
He did not have the kind of government we have. His government was nice to him. They did not imprison him for nothing. When did they ever imprison him for preaching the gospel? That's why he told us not to be subject to earthly authorities. If he was in Nigeria, where police can arrest you and put you in prison, Ekiti, for writing that Supreme Court justice took bribes, and they call it criminal libel. Have you heard of that before? It's a civil case, but they put you there. It's a place where the police can arrest you because somebody falsely accused you. Paul doesn't understand. Why should we be subject to authority? Because his own case, the soldiers were his protectors. They were his helpers. They used to come to hear the gospel in his house, and they bring in gifts from the emperor. Can you see how foolish we have been in our statements? We are the ones that kings give gifts now. Do you know that? Pastors, December, they go to government house. They know what they collect. Paul, when he goes to government house, it's because he's in chains. He suffered the kind of suffering we have not seen before. So when such a man says you should not be careful about anything, don't worry, literally in modern English, don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. If such a man says, why shouldn't you listen? Why shouldn't you listen? You want to know what excites God? That's what I'm telling you. That the circumstances say something else, but you believe that which he said. You want to hear the truth? He gets extremely happy. What happened in Abraham's case? I need to explain what happened in Abraham's case again. This man is old. As at that time, Abraham was 130-something years old. When God said he should take his son, his only son, and go and sacrifice him. That's not the issue. God had given him a word, and he told everybody, I'm Abraham because of this boy. Through him, my seed will be called. God now said, go and sacrifice him. So he reasoned. That, now listen to this. That because God's word can never fail. Because God's word can never fail. He must be up to something. Let me sacrifice Isaac and see what God wants to do. You don't get the point. And he went ahead, built the altar of wood. He had fire. The Bible emphasizes that he took fire. And he brought out his knife. Everything was complete. That young man was going to die. And he was going to be roasted. Then Abraham was going to stand behind and start watching what God was planning to do. You don't understand? God said, you mean you trust me this much? He said, but your word does not fail now. The Bible says he reckoned that God was able to raise him up from the dead. So he received him back as in a figure. That is, not. Maybe you don't understand. Nobody had ever been raised from the dead that Abraham was aware of at that time. Okay, even if he raised from the dead, is it not from dead? Do you get my point? Not from ashes. Even if you have seen Lazarus raised, it's not a big deal. After all, the body had not been burnt. If you have seen the widow of Nain raised, the son of the widow of Nain, it's not a big deal. The body was not burnt. That these ashes, you turn ashes back to a person. Abraham said, I want to see it. So God jumped up in heaven and said, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham, I will bless you. God said, I swear. What? By God, I swear by God. Okay, but I am God Almighty. So I swear by myself. Now, please, let me just turn it around. So imagine how he feels or how he felt when the people of Israel said, we can't enter the promised land. You know what he did? He swore that all of them would die. Moses begged. He said, this one cannot be atoned for by sacrifice or by offerings. I'm sorry. I will not take sorry. So he kept everybody roaming around until the last of the men of war had been laid low in the wilderness. As for those 10 men that went and said, we are not able, he killed them on the spot. People tell you that God is a good guy. He doesn't get angry. Go and ask Ananias. Go and ask Sapphira. See, if you hear a Christian die, just noticing that God just said, let me, for his reason, for whatever reason, I don't know. But he kills people. That doctrine that says he doesn't kill, Satan does not know how to kill. He only knows how to tempt. God has to give him the power of death. Sometimes the angel, when God wants to kill, do you know who he uses? Answer me now. An angel doesn't use a demon of death. Do they know how to kill? Demon of death will be struggling to kill one person. It will choke and choke and 3 days, person is still panting. Angel of death, 185,000 one night. Precision engineering, precision shots. You tell the angel of death, go into the houses of the Egyptians, look for blood on the door, you will not find. Enter it, kill only the firstborn sons. Precision. Boom. In one night, went over throughout the whole of Egypt, millions of households. If it's one demon, it will be one person, they choke him. 3 days later, the person is still panting for breath. The devil will be like, we never die. He said, nah, never die. So anybody tells that God doesn't kill, you should forget that sin. He doesn't have to kill him. So he has designed, he has ordained sanctions from angels. And they have a name, angel of death. They don't live in hellfire. They live in a corner of heaven. They and Gabriel, they talk once in a while, not often. But Gabriel goes, hey Mary, full of grace. The angel of death, Mary, if you cross here. Oh God. You know I'm the Balaam now. They were warning Balaam, don't go. One angel said, okay, go. He said, I've drawn my line. If you cross there, Balaam, whoa, well, like the line. When God released the angel against David, 1.5 days, 70,000. David raised his head and saw the angel. He said, my God, please, this little flock, what have they done? Okay, I'm the one that sinned. Kill me now. I said, accept sacrifice, though. That's when I went and bought the place. They later built the temple. So if anybody says that God doesn't kill, you should forget it. Just say, God, don't kill me before my time. That's the prayer you should be praying. He killed those 10 for one simple reason. They inspired rebellion against him. God hates rebellion. Please, I've told you, don't touch that scripture. If you want to disobey the word of God, disobey all by yourself. As a preacher, please, some preachers are preaching nonsense on the pulpit. I feel sorry for them. I said, like, do you know this Bible you are reading? You deliberately twist it, the Lord is coming for you. You deliberately twist what God is saying, is coming for you. What's the point I'm making, people of God? Do you know he gets angry? Let me get to the next thing I want to say. I think I still have a bit of time. I'll get there. There is nothing in your life he has not given a word concerning. You want to make him happy? Find out that word and build your life on it. Build your life on it. Say, where's this church? Where's this country coming to now? What's going to happen when my children go up? God said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor what? Nor what? Now what? His children beg for bread. God said, take that word. Make yourself God's righteousness. And your children will never have to beg for bread. He says, look, this is what I've said. You will not have children for calamity. You know what that means? When you are making decisions, when you are making plans, you must never. If you want him to be angry, be afraid for your children's lives. That's when you know God can oppose somebody. Now, I was reading one of the notes I have in my Bible. There's someone in Judges that God fought against them. Did you hear that? That Israel will go to war because of their sin, because of their iniquity. Because God was angry with them, he was fighting against them in every battle. God told Israel, you will know my opposition. People think he doesn't do that. That's why he told Israel, you will know what it means to be opposed by God. Brethren, you don't want to be in that situation. That's why you don't kindle your own fire. That's why, look, back to what we were saying earlier. What is hope? Hope is when you take his word and build your expectation on it. Let me say it again. You know what he said? I know the thoughts. Now, let me tell you. Christianity is not like, it's not a religion of service alone. Let's go and serve God. No. He thought about you first. He made plans concerning your life first. Do you follow my point? You don't plan your life. David said, the thoughts you have towards me
If I were to number them, quickly open, let me quote this correctly. Psalm 139. Just quickly quote that thing he said. Verse 17. Say, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Did you hear that? He said, if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, that's talking about resurrection. What was he saying? God has thought of everything till I die, till I am raised again from the dead in resurrection. You know what I mean by thoughts? See, if you thought about every 5 minutes of my life, I can number them. Even though if I were to live 100 years. What he was saying here is that the amount of details, let me explain. Jesus said to us like this, even the hair on your head, they are numbered. If God says they can't cut that hair, go to the barber. Now, that's how to spoil people's clipper. If God says he won't cut the hair, go to the barber. This one that small Israel, you know, Israel, they cut all kind of hairstyle for us these days. It's not his fault now. It's because God approved. Thank God, say, banking, no, be God, though. You for cut that hairstyle, let me see. When I speak against the barber, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. That is, he thinks of every fine detail of our lives. You want to wed? He chooses the date. Yeah. He, by himself, will choose the date. You want to buy a car? He will choose the color. I'm going down to mundane things. See, you can't outthink God. You can't outthink God. You can't think as much as he thinks. You don't have the capacity. No, you don't understand my point. You don't have the capacity. It's not about whether you want to. You do not have the capacity. I always tell the story of when I get to this kind of juncture of Mary Kay Ash, who wrote a book, a chapter in her book. The book is titled Miracles Happen. I've never seen it on sale. They used to give to their people. But I got a hold of the book, Miracles Happen. And the chapter there is, you can't outgive God. When the woman saw, when she saw manifestation of money, she promised, she was going to church, and God said to her, promise to double the money they are going to raise that day. She went to church. Make a long story short, she uttered the promise, thinking it would be like $5,000. They gave $106,000. More than 10 times what she had planned for. And then while she was just still thinking, where will I get the money from? The phone rang again. And God gave her $100,000 a month. Do you hear what I said? Now, why I like this story is that, of course, what happened was she had made an investment before. God kicked it, spoke to the investment. It began to yield. And they said her share the first month is over $100,000. Okay? Now, where I'm going is that the woman said she began to tremble. Why? Now, I want to give you my own interpretation. She realized that all her life, she had not been the one planning this business. She suddenly realized that, what? So when God said, offer to double the money they will give, he already had that money waiting. He already had the money waiting. That's what David meant. When I tell people, say, you can't, God help me with that. You know, God has been good to me. I used to tell people those days, you have to carry your children abroad so they can go to school. I say, if he wants my children to go to Harvard, there's nothing for me in Harvard. I'm not trying to say that Harvard is good, I need to go there. No. Look, if Dangote is not good to Harvard, there's nothing. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Okay, so leave that in. Okay. Bishop Odipo didn't go to Harvard. He did go to Harvard. Pastor Adebo, he never crossed any lag. So leave that in. So you get my point. But let's just assume, because they are world renowned, all right? If God wanted my children to go to Harvard, and at the same time he said they should not leave Enugu, they will not leave Enugu. Harvard will come and open its campus here. And let me tell you, it's not too much for him to do. In fact, he does it regularly. It's because we don't activate these things by faith. That's the problem. He will tell Harvard, get up. Say, Donald Trump has frozen $2 billion of your money now. You say, yes.
go to Nigeria. Go and get freedom that you can't get in America. Freedom to protest. Nigerians protest every time and nothing. You know, this country is very few people are busy in Nigeria. Now you realize it's a very free country. People are busy Tinubu every day. Has it done you anything? Go and abuse Donald Trump. Deportation next. Oh my God, they will so deport you. Eh? You won't have time to wear your slippers. God will tell Harvard, go down to Nigeria, open a campus. It's all right, let's go to Lagos. You get to Lagos, Sanwo-Olu will say no land. He said, let's go to Abuja. They'll get there. Wike is angry with everybody. Say, Wike is no, nothing. Then somebody will tell Peter Mba. Peter Mba will call them and say, guys, come to Owo here now. I'm building a dual carriage route to the place. Harvard will open a campus just to train my children. When the last one will have graduated, they will say that Enugu is not feasible for them. It's not profitable. They will close shop again. See, NYSC. How many people know NYSC? What is the full meaning of NYSC? There are some people who finish NYSC don't know the full meaning now. I hope you know. You're not one of them. National Youth Service Corps. Per Elton prophesied that it will come into existence. And he said the purpose is so that young people can go all over the country preaching the gospel. How did he didn't say NYSC like that. He said, I see a time coming soon. Now, I'm not quoting the exact words, but summary of what he said. That the federal government of Nigeria will pay young people to go to rural areas to go and preach the gospel. People thought, you know, the way we interpret it is that federal government will have a decree sponsoring churches if you are young. No. Civil War ended. Civil War started. He had prophesied before then. It ended. The Spirit of God came upon Gowon. The Spirit of God said, let us reunite this country. You do it through young people. Scatter them all over the country. And federal government will pay. The word of Pai Elton came to pass. Without Gowon hearing anything from heaven. Don't try this, God, we said. Don't try this, God, we said. David said, the thoughts he has towards me. He said, how precious are those thoughts? How vast is the sum of them? You think you're making plans for God? No, you discover. You discover you can't make plans for him. What do you know? What do you know? Somebody who declares the end from the beginning, what do you know? I keep saying that. Look, God is looking for people who just trust him and rest. See, let me tell you, when God wants to test you with trust, he won't give thanks. Because everybody can rest. If federal government is sending $2.5 million every month, and then one international agency is adding $1,000 to it, say, I'm resting, waiting for God. So when he wants you to rest, he won't give you anything. Yeah, go and walk in that place. Just go and sit down there and be walking. You earn some more money. That's all. You know what? God is actually looking for those who can rest. Say the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth, looking for such a person. What did King James say he wants to do? He says, so he might show himself strong. I like that expression. He said, the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth, that he might show himself strong on behalf of that of the person whose heart is perfect towards him. That was the one they gave us. Of course, when you are done wrong. God is looking for who can rest. You get my point? Who can rest? What is hope? That is the way it is. It applies to us Christians. Hope is building the expectation for your future, for your destiny on what God said, not your circumstances. That's what hope is. Hope is when you build the expectation for your life. Do you follow my point? Yes. On what he said. Somebody said, a friend of mine came the other day. He said, Obadan, they go transfer. You see there for Enugu? I said, I'm not going anywhere. What I don't add, well, let me add it here. What people are looking for all over the world will come and meet me here. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How do I know? Because, you see, yeah, there are scriptures you quote, some you don't. There are some scriptures that quoted themselves in my mouth. I saw them, they had entered my soul before I memorized. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. I united with the Lord. He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I read that in long ago. This was shortly after NYC, I was in Lagos.
After that time, I realized that no, but I can go anywhere. Don't be angry. I will cause don't be anxious. I will cause prosperity to flow there. If I want the opposition of God, let me leave where he kept me to go and look for prosperity. You know what they call the opposition of God. That's what he told Israel. He said, I will oppose you every step of the way. You will stay in this wilderness and you will know my opposition. They sinned in Judges. They went to battle. God fought against them every step of the way. I said, I don't want that trouble. And God said, if you leave where I kept you to go and look for something, you will know what they call opposition. See, I've told you again and again, if I died, please, remind my wife what I said. Here lies a man who died believing God. That's it. Because those who don't, God is angry. People do think that God is angry. See, let me tell you what the Bible calls wicked. You know the Bible calls wicked? Okay, maybe not all the time. But a huge chunk of those he calls wicked are the people of his covenant who don't obey his word. Yeah. The people that God calls wicked. You know, people think that the wicked are just unbelievers. No, I can show you. Time won't allow me. I wrote note on it in my Bible when I discovered it. That to the wicked, he was talking about Israelites who don't obey. He was talking about the people of his own covenant who don't obey what he said. Those are the people he called wicked. You know, this doctrine of grace, God has not... Leave that in bread and leave it. Let's sit on our message anyway. Let me just go there. It's possible to make the Lord happy. What does it mean to make the Lord happy? You know, when you are in the Bible, it's not... See, it's like digging the earth. Yeah, good. You want to build a building. You start digging to find foundation. To find hard rock, bedrock to lay foundation. Before they build the building, I saw the way they built Burj Al Arab, Burj Khalifa. I saw the videos on how those places were built. Because there's no bedrock in that area. They drove piles. They had to measure how long the piles would be, what they would fill it with, how many they had to be. Because they needed the friction against sand, taught by the foundation itself, to keep the building standing as heavy as it would be. Where I'm going is that if you saw the engineering calculations, most places that have bedrock, they keep digging. I've seen them in Lagos, but where they are driving piles into the ground. See, you hear buildings collapse in Lagos. You hear almost every other week now. You go hear one. There's still one last week. It's not last week. Today's what? Tuesday. I think it was on Saturday, and that building still collapsed. Why people wouldn't do what they are supposed to do? Where I'm going is that when you read the scripture, you know what you're trying to do? You are digging. You are drawing a foundation for decision making in your life. Talk to structural engineers and architects, especially high-rise buildings. Foundation is wall. They will calculate and calculate and calculate. When you see where they want to build high-rise buildings, they first build deep-down buildings. Do you follow my point? Yeah, because the Bible says the remnant of the house of the Judah will first take root downwards before they bear fruit upward. Anytime we take the scripture, it's looking for foundation to build on. I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. You read that thing until it becomes part of you. And when you won't make it, see, this is what faith is. The word of God is valid evidence for important decision making. That's what faith is. The word of God being the valid evidence and foundation for important... No, you know people can believe God is a trivial thing. But when you have to make critical decisions concerning your life, the man I quote all the time, Derek Prince, said he gave up everything because the word of the Lord came to him supernaturally. He said, there's a destiny I've built for you. Now, look... There's some man said, don't think that people need to know things, you know, in themselves before they obey God. There's one thing John Alexander Dowie said. Let me just see what I can quickly get there and quote it. Christianity, look, listen, these scriptures that we read there, I pray I find this thing. Sorry. I studied somewhere. A statement Dowie made to his wife. Concerning his life, he said he made to his wife. He was talking about going on and walking through a valley full of fog, and that the only confidence you have is that the one who's... Oh, God, sorry. I wish I could find it. It's so beautiful. What he was trying to say is that, look, the things around me, I can't see anything. But I know who I'm following. And I know I'm passing through this fog. I can't see my left. I can't see my right. But I know who I'm following. And I know we're going to come out on top of the mountain. Right now we're in the valley. Because the wife, you know, the wife's parents had already had talked into her head until she was confused as to the destiny she has in the home of this her young husband. So I may not be able to promise you anything, but I know that we are following somebody that knows where he's going. What is faith? It's when the word of God is sound evidence for you to build your life upon. That's what faith is. And I'm saying to you today, that is what excites the Lord. Don't make decisions based on the circumstances around. Lie. It offends the Lord. Once you find his word, see, let me tell you what prayer is about. What meditation is about. Praying is not staying in one place forever until God changes his mind. Prayer is staying in the place until you fully are persuaded concerning his word. Do you follow my point? Yeah, because that's what happens. You know, you face the circumstances, your heart draws back, go back inside. Until you are fully persuaded that he that promised is able to fulfill that which he has promised. That's why, that is what long prayer is about. Long prayer is not to persuade God. Do you follow my point? When you are pacing up and down, you are not persuading him. If you are fully persuaded, it's one sentence. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He didn't utter it twice. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Jabez say? Jabez said, Lord, oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and keep me from harm, that it will not touch me. That's all. And God answered him. God doesn't require long prayers. What requires long prayer is till we are fully persuaded. So you come back the next day to pray again. And speak in other tongues for 1 hour if we have to. It's not your house. Is it church? Yeah, it's your house. 1 hour there. Be making all the noise. I don't care. Until you are fully persuaded. Because when the full persuasion comes, are you getting my point? When faith is built in the heart, believe me, heaven is excited. Heaven becomes excited. Heaven becomes excited when faith is fully built in the heart. I give an illustration now. Let me just watch my time so I can close, all right? Let's just take this one again. For example, you read from your scriptures. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Brethren, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how he lived his life? Following the promise of God. Everybody read after this after me. No, let's read together. Open to Psalm 23. Open to Psalm 23. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, one, two, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I said read. I didn't say mumble. Did I say that? What did I say?
Read.
Now, let's read together. One, two, let's go.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now listen to this. What does it mean the Lord is my shepherd? Is the one I'm following. Do you get my point?
The lesson we need in life is to follow. Now, this point I'm making. Once you are following the rest of the scripture, believe it. Build your life on it. Somebody says, what's your plan for your future? So the Lord is my shepherd. He will take care of it. Now, brethren, that is not self-consolation. That is a fact. You hear what I said? You know, you hear of news of trouble around Nigeria, don't you? Open to Psalm 91.
Again, let me say to you, please, read your Bible to find what to build your life on. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That applies to every believer. Do you understand that? What does he say in Psalm 91? For time's sake, let's just read them. Okay, let me just read from verse 1, then the area we are going to read together. He said, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What it means is that if you enter into God, Christ is the shelter of the Most High. You come under the cover of the Almighty. He said, I will say of the Lord, or to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Can you say that? My refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Close your eyes, please, and say to the Lord. You understand? You are saying to the Lord, say, just say to him, my refuge. That's the name. That's the name. My refuge. My fortress. That's a name. My place of safety is a name. My place of safety is a name. Now let me read verse 3 from you, and you say amen to that. I'll read from New Living Translation to make it easy. He will rescue you from every trap.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
He will protect you from every deadly disease.
Amen.
He will cover you with his feathers.
Amen.
He will shelter you with his wings.
Amen.
You know what he says in verse 5? You will not be afraid of the terrors of the night,
Amen.
Nor the arrows that flies by day.
Amen.
Let me use the word in New Living Translation. Do not dread this disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Now let me read it for you in New Living. Which verse is that? Verse 6. Okay, let's just go to verse 7. Now, this is the word of the Lord. Though 1,000 fall at your side, it was talking about disease, all right? Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you.
Amen.
That's verse 7. I'll read it again. He said, even though 1,000 dies because of these diseases, and 10,000 are dying around you, he said, these evils will not touch you.
Amen.
Now, this is the word of the Lord. If you make the Lord your refuge, how do you make the Lord your refuge? Build your life on what he has said. He said, if you make the Most High your shelter. Now, this is the word of the Lord. I want someone to say amen to this. So I'm going to read now. No evil will conquer you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your home.
Amen.
Now, listen to this fact. He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go.
Amen.
They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.
Amen.
Now let me read verse 14 to you. Thus says the Lord, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name.
Amen.
When they call on me, I will answer.
Amen.
I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with a long life, and I will give them my salvation.
Amen.
People of God, when you read the scriptures, that's what you do. Build your life on them. What did I say?
Build your life on yourself.
Now, when you have read this now, someone say, hey, no good, it's getting dangerous. Let me tell you what the Bible says. See, you know I said it before, fear is good. Remember I said this? What did I say?
Fear is good.
Good. What's good about fear? So it's not a problem. When they tell you the roads are dangerous, no trouble. Don't stop going where you want to go, but go home first. What do? You pray. No, see, I have found that from scripture now. God, see, what the word of God does is build hope. Hope is expectation. That drives you to prayer. And like David said, you see the Lord, quicken me according to your word. So you just say to him, Lord, this is what you said. Now I have to do a Enugu Port Harcourt regularly. They said the road is dangerous. Now, because I read here that you will rescue those who love you and protect those who trust in you. And you say, when they call on you, you will answer. Therefore, Lord, I've come to call on you. Protect me in all my way. Simple. That's how they handle it. Now, have they told you before that there's no future in this country? You've heard it before? Now, let me tell you how to handle it. See, did you hear what they said? Now, I'm trusting in you. I'm not trusting in this country. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You say to the Lord, I am trusting in you. I'm not trusting in this country. It's a simple statement to him. Therefore, give me a brilliant future wherever you have kept me in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is the word of the Lord. I'm speaking it prophetically. God will make prosperity come towards you like a river.
Amen.
And the wealth people are looking for all over the world like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Though your beginning be small, your latter end will greatly increase.
Amen.
Like giving a word to somebody who has a small business. One day you will look back and that small business will employ 5,000.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what God will do. Let me add this one and I close with it. You know, God wants to tell the story. See, think about it. If you went the normal way and did the normal things and you got the normal result, what story is there for God to tell? How has he shown himself strong on your behalf? Do you get what I'm saying? You get my point? Bow your head and say, Father God, show yourself strong on my behalf. It's a prayer. Say, Lord, show yourself strong on my behalf. Say to the Lord, show yourself strong on my behalf. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for causing us to build our hope on your word again. We thank you because the hope that is built on you will never put to shame. It will never put us to shame. It will never put us to shame. These children, people are afraid for, as ours, our own children, they are already blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have given us an assignment. Teach them righteousness and justice. Lord, you have blessed our children. You have blessed our children.
Amen.
This world, these circumstances of life, men, people will cooperate to bring forth your blessing in them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, saints of God, listen to this. Behold, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
Say amen and claim that.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship kingdom world style. Want to let's go?
Because
of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless somebody beside you. Another person. This is your season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Now, before I tell you the last one for yourself, please remember. Podcast, I recommend everybody starts listening to podcasts if you haven't. And I'm recommending again, subscribe to Pastor Banky in 10. How many of you have been listening to the teachers to pray? I believe, people here are very compliant too. So many hands up. Oh, that's so beautiful. All right. It's running for 77 days nonstop. Every morning, by 5 in the morning, boom, a new one drops. By the time you finish, you will raise the dead. I keep on saying. Yeah, it's systematic teaching on prayer. 10 minutes each morning. And the previous ones, if you are just joining, they are still there. We are not removing it. Is that okay? Yeah, please, listen every day. I think it's a very nice habit to form. The other one is the new Pastor Banky podcast. With that one, you get all these messages as we release them online. Is that okay? We have two more coming, have we? One is Skewing. Yes, School of Knowledge, Understanding, and Wisdom. And the other one is audiobooks. All these books will come out as audiobooks. All right, so just get ready. Form a podcast habit. That's the job we have in Kingdom with publishing the Word of God. All right, the Lord is good. Now, one for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, share our brethren. God bless you.